You are listening to episode 127 of the Africana Woman Podcast, Grace to Learn, with Danielle Dalcotivo. My name is Chulu, your host. Let's go. Hello, beautiful. How are you? One of my greatest prides and joy is a special program that we have in Africana Woman, and it is called The Visionaries. In many ways, The Visionaries for me is what I wished I had when I was starting out after graduating from university, walking out into the world with so many business ideas and plans for life. Only to be slapped with setbacks and realities, which, do not get me wrong, that's actually normal and it is okay. What I was lacking was a space where I can go to seek counsel, ask questions, inquire about best practices. A place where I know that whatever I say will not be judged or ignored or ridiculed. I lacked a place where I could go vent all of my frustrations and not have someone try and fix the problem. Because, you know, most times when you're frustrated, you don't need somebody to be telling you, oh, fix it this way, fix it this way. You know what? I don't need a fixer-upper. I just need someone to listen. I need an ear and I need someone's presence. That's all. I've also always been very, very action oriented. Like, it is wild to me how unproductive the world can be. Guys, have you ever been to a meeting that is talking about another meeting so as you can prepare for the other meeting? I just can't. Anyway, zero results. You know what I mean? Just zero results. I can't. I believe I have been called to help women produce results in their life. And those results may not always be, you know, like starting a business. It could be setting boundaries in your life so as your overall well-being improves. It could be starting to exercise regularly as part of your lifestyle where you have not been able to in the past. That is why the Africana Woman Visionaries holds a very special place in my heart, because it is in this space that we get to share our collective wisdom. Just this week, one of our visionaries hosted our monthly masterclass. Shout out to Gift Mbewe. Yo, guys, this session was powerful. Ha! And she taught us how to plan for retirement. And, you know, that is her niche. She's in the banking sector and she teaches financial literacy, you know, and she got to share her knowledge with the visionaries. What a powerful session, especially when we got to the Q&A, hey, because that's where we really got to unpack the root of what is stopping people from preparing the future. Black tax. But then we started discussing how to deal with it practically, mentally, and emotionally. So the visionaries is a space where we hold each other accountable. You know, I see them doing this with physical fitness, where they go to the gym together. Or, you know, with our finance challenge. So we are following the Catching Fire book by Jane Mazimba. Such a beautiful, beautiful space. So in the visionaries, we have stay-at-home moms, we have entrepreneurs, retirees, and corporate women of all ages. And it makes for such rich conversations. Anyway, I guess today I'm just in my feels. I'm just in my feels with gratitude about the visionaries. It is so satisfying to see the women just bloom, you know, and evolve. They're getting promotions, they're starting businesses, they're taking control of their mental, physical, spiritual health. It is, I'm just so grateful. If you are looking for a space like this an action-oriented sisterhood, a loving and encouraging accountability group, then I am inviting you to join the Africana Women Visionaries. You can go to our website, africanawoman.com, to join, or find the link in the show notes. Yeah. Have you ever made something that you're so proud of? That's what the Visionaries is for me. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with my feels. So this week has been fabulous. We announced the winner of the Golden Key giveaway, which unlocks full access for free to the Africana Women Festival. Congratulations to, drum roll please, Ngosa Chibuye Muyatwa. She also gets to bring a friend and have full VIP treatment at the Africana Women Festival. I am so excited for her. Congratulations, my darling. I'm so happy. Remember, early bird tickets for the festival are available right now. So you can also get your tickets today. Take advantage of the early bird tickets, guys. So go to the website, africanawoman.com/festival, and all of the details are there. So plan to get yours as soon as possible. All right. Hashtag lunch and learn will be in Livingston, Kabwe, and Solwezi in May. Please, guys, make sure you get your tickets now. Disclaimer, lunch and learn is not for everyone, okay? It is for women who want to see results in their life. Women who are ready for an up level. And this requires thinking differently. Doing things differently for different results, and not everyone is prepared to do this. So don't stress if lunch and learn is not for you. It's okay, babes, it's okay. But if you are looking to really take yourself, take your business, take your life to that next level, then lunch and learn is for you. Okay, so today you get to hear from a beautiful soul who I met last year. She is a friend, my coach, my mentor, and I am so grateful that our paths crossed, because she has had such a profound impact in the short space of time in my life. And she has also poured into the Visionaries twice, guys, twice. And what phenomenal breakthroughs were had in her sessions. She is brilliant. I think the whole world needs to know about her. Her name is Danielle Dalcoutivo from Australia, making waves across the world. Enjoy. Danielle Dalcoutivo is an entrepreneur, global movement founder, CEO, and consultant. She creates extraordinary leaders and empowers women to say that which has never been said. What connects her passions is a curiosity for creating conversations that make a difference. Around her, people inquire and see what's never been seen, discover and express what's never been expressed, and do what's never been done. She's been interviewed on TV, radio, podcasts, and for print. At 25, she co-founded a charity and raised $500,000 supporting seriously ill children and orphan children in Botswana. At 26, she started a consulting company and has since transformed a number of organizations. She is engaging, articulate, and insightful, and guarantees thought-provoking conversations that leave audiences wanting for more. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Trilla. What an introduction.
I love that part. That's like my favorite part of the interviews, because I'm just like, yes, I want to remind you of your awesomeness. So I love that part. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome tonight. It's evening over here where I am. And yeah, I'm great. It's just a pleasure and a real honor to be chatting to you and on your podcast.
Yeah. So for context sake, guys, I am in Zambia. Danielle is in Australia. So there's a bit of a time difference, but so happy that we were able to make this happen. Okay. So let's jump right in. Danielle, what is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, there's something about the freedom that I had as a little person, just exploring, discovering. I remember getting a paintbrush, like painting with water, you know, and being so excited when it looked like it was done and then it'd dry up and then I just keep going. Yeah, there was just this freedom and innocence as a little girl. And yeah, I just love reflecting on just really being self-expressed and alive in the world as a little girl, you know, whatever I was up to, whether I was building kitchens in my bedroom or, you know, driving around in one of my little push bike things, collecting things from dad's garage. Like, it was just this freedom of expression. Yeah, and like innocence. And yeah, I love being reminded of that.
Yeah. So do you think that that freedom that you felt, is that something that has stayed with you and carried on? Or was there a moment where you're like, okay, I kind of lost it for a second?
Oh, I think I probably lost it for a little bit more than a second. You know, I believe that as we go through life, things happen and we make things mean things and new parts of our identity get created. And so for me, one of my real aspirations and the way I want to live my life is with freedom and self-expression. So it's almost like undoing whatever was in the way that stopped me from being that, sort of at whatever age that started to change, you know, expectations, serious job, going to uni, doing all the important things we're supposed to do. And it's like I'm sort of, I mean, I don't know if we ever get back to that full freedom and self-expression and childlike discovery that little kids have. But I am on a journey to creating a life where that really is what is driving my life. So it is kind of like a circle, I guess. Yeah.
What did you study at uni?
Well, I was a little bit confused and ended up on a few different paths with uni. So I first studied a Bachelor of Communication, and then I went on to do some work around HIV in Australia, and I was really interested in how do we change behavior? So then I went on to do a graduate diploma in counseling. So I went back to uni and then ended up doing a Master of Public Health. And sort of in full view now, what I probably wanted to study was something like health promotion, but I just got there in a really bizarre, quite expensive, and a very long way. Yeah.
Now, you started KO Consulting at 26 years, right? What made you decide to step out and say, hey, I am going to do this thing independently, you know? And I don't know, what was people's reactions around you? Because sometimes I feel like people kind of project their fears, like, are you sure about that?
I love truly that you raise that, because absolutely people project their fears on others all the time. I didn't really have an intention of starting my own business. I was studying, I went and did a certificate in sex education for young people or something. I was just really interested, kind of when I was thinking about how do we address the issues of HIV? Like, what do we do about this? And so I was studying at throughout one of our family planning organizations here, and it was the CEO who said, do you want to come and work for us? And at that time I was working full time, and said, no, I sort of don't. And he said, well, could I pay you for your like advice and opinions, to which I absolutely agreed. Like, wow, someone wants to pay me for my opinions. That's awesome. And so it was there that I first started my business, and I was just doing some work part-time. And then it's probably been in the last 3 years where I really made the decision to just, you know, not be employed by somebody else and really take on working for myself. So it's really ramped up in the last couple of years. But the question about people projecting fears, I worked for the government for about 11 years. And when I just knew it wasn't really the space for me to be really self-expressed. And so I made the choice to leave. And in Australia, when you work for the government, you get really great superannuation. It was really high, much higher than working in the private sector. So when I was saying to people, that's it, I'm going to try something else, I wanted to finish my master's, the fear and, but what are you going to do about your super? Are you going to be able to find another job? Like, it was incredible. And it really took something to stay to my conviction of knowing in my heart of hearts that was no longer serving me and I was ready for something new and different. But people's fears, concerns, will you get a job? Like, how are you going to survive? What are you going to do about your super in like 30 years' time? So I sort of jumped anyway and just had to let people own their fears and try not let that like move me off my path. And thank goodness I sort of stayed true to what I wanted to do. But it took something.
So what has surprised you most, I guess, in the last 3 years? You know, now that you're out and you're like, I don't know, because I also feel like I also, like, it's been 2 years now, 2 years since I left like a nine, like an 8 to 5. You know, I felt like, I don't know, maybe you kind of go in with sort of expectations, you kind of jump with expectations. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, okay. You have to adjust and, you know, make, think of things differently. I feel like you also discover a lot about yourself.
Mm.
Now, I've never been married, but I hear married people talk about, like, you know, when you get married, it's almost like your image is being reflected to you. You know what I mean? In the sense that your partner is like, hey, this is, you're doing this. And then certain things come to awareness. But I almost feel like it's the same with, well, at least with my experience, it's almost the same with going out independently, where you're like, okay, now you really have to face certain things about yourself. What is your experience?
Absolutely. So, Chula, I might share a bit how I got from, so I was in government for about 11 years. And then at that point where I said I was going to leave the government, my plan was actually to finish my master's and look at doing a PhD. And someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, Danielle, there's a CEO role going in a health charity back here in Australia. And I applied and somehow I got that. I think I was 29. So I spent about 4 years heading up, 3 years in one and then heading up two different not-for-profit organizations. And so I kind of had a transition out of, you know, 9 to 5 public service with lots of bosses up a hierarchy, going into a CEO role, which I quite liked because I liked being able to be the boss. I do like that position, full confession. I do love being the boss. I don't really love being told what to do. And then after that, I went and worked in a startup because I wanted to get experience in that space. And then it was after that that I transitioned into my own business. And I truly, absolutely, growth, development, limitations, where you're stopped, and what it takes to really, one of the things I talk a lot about in the leadership program is, we can talk about this with Raise the Roof as well if you like, but what it really takes to honor your word and have the discipline and courage to do what needs to be done to grow your business. Because when I was working for someone else, I wasn't really in sales roles. I wasn't responsible for if I don't do work and don't get paid. Now I don't get paid, but in some of those other jobs, I could rock up and I knew I was going to be paid every fortnight. So it's a very different game and takes something to like generate yourself, to do as you say, to have structures in place and to be empowered to really do what you need to do to have your business grow. Because I suspect the things that are most important for us having our business grow are probably the places where we are most confronted and want to run away because it's too hard and I quit. So there's no escape when you have your own business, is my experience, which is also extraordinary if you're interested in growth and development, because every time I'm ready to grow or take on something new, for me, I wonder, what's it going to look like? Who am I going to be a match for the next level of my business and where I want to take my business? And that's pretty extraordinary that I get to be in that space every day.
So why a leadership? Why is that something that you teach about, that you help women with or people with? Why leadership?
Well, great question, Chulu. And when I think about leadership, there can be quite a patriarchal view of what leadership looks like. So sometimes leadership is, collapsed with management and they're different things. It can be about accountability and performance and integrity and honoring your word and being responsible. When I think about leadership, for me, leadership is about the way I lead in my life, in my career, and in the world. So it's not, my leadership program isn't about, here's a whole lot of research about this or that or leadership types. I'm less interested in that and more interested in, where are people stopped from being able to take the actions they need to take, say the things that they need to say in those times when it really calls for something else. So when I think about leadership, for me, leadership is being able to be any way of being that's required to fulfill on what I'm out to fulfill on in the world. And so when we're looking at leadership, it's really about going from whatever is stopping us, blocking us, wherever we're stuck, and wherever we don't have freedom and self-expression to take the actions inside of what we're really committed to have us lead and to be powerful. And when I talk about power, it's not about control over others or anything like that. For me, power is the speed in which, when I say I would love for this result to happen, it's the speed in which that result shows up for me. So that's the work that we do in our programs. So in the corporate world, calling it a leadership program fits very well. But when it's more for women in business, that are running their own business like yourself and I, my course is really like people like you and I. So how do we go beyond our limitations? And what are some of those key elements that are really important for our performance? I'm also super impatient. So I am like, what is the most effective and efficient way to get where I'm going, and how do I not let stuff that usually stops me stop me? So we look at things like, what does it mean to keep your promises? Where do we do that? And where do I not do that? And what structures do I need in place to be able to really track how I'm going and measure my results? And where am I stopped? Like, where am I stopped for asking for what I want? Where do I get stopped in negotiation? Or where do I get taken out when someone says something that hits my trigger and it's like, I'm gone?
Now, You have worked with our visionary community twice now, and you run a workshop. I'll call it a workshop because we have monthly master classes, and people come and they'll speak about a certain topic. But yours has always been unique in the sense that it helps the women to kind of process where they are with the topic at hand. And it's not that you are telling them the answer, but they're finding the answers from within. So there's like, first of all, there's like awareness, revelation, and then it's like, okay, what can I actually do about this, you know? But it's very empowering because it comes from within. And I guess, where did you develop that style of engaging with people?
Well, I think that's been developed over quite a long time and from my own inquiry. So, if I have a problem and I share that problem with someone and they just tell me what they think I should do, often that doesn't go super well with me. Sometimes I'll say, Chulu, don't try and get me to figure this out. Just please tell me what I'm supposed to do. And then I'm really looking for someone to just tell me what to do, and then I'll do it. But I've heard this amazing quote, and it spoke to something that something like, if you want my advice, you have to take my whole life. So when someone just gives a snippet of advice, they're giving a snippet of advice from their whole life. So if you give me a piece of advice to solve one of my problems, you are hearing about a tiny bit of my problem in the context of my whole world. And you can only bring what you can bring from your context. I love inquiry, and I don't want to tell, I don't know what's best for you. All I know is I can ask some pretty interesting questions that have you discover something for yourself. Because if I just give you something and tell you what to do, as you were sharing before, it's not your revelation. It's just Danielle said you should try this. So what I'm interested in is there is so much information out there. I mean, how to do social media, how to set up your business, how to do click funnels, how to do automation. Like, there is so much of that information out there, and thank goodness, and it's fabulous, and we need that. But the thing that stops me from setting up my click funnels, or that stops me from showing up on social media every day, or however frequently the latest algorithm tells me I should, is very different to just knowing what to do. So instead of my master classes being about giving information, for me, it's really about what is it going to take for you to take a different action? And to get you to take a different action, you have to see what's in the way and like uncover your blind spots. So I'm trained as an executive coach, and a lot of that is around questions. And I've found for me, I have my own coach. So I'm coached every week. And sometimes it's a combination of some sharing wisdom with me, but often it's about giving me a space to inquire into what it is that is really stopping me or blocking me, or more importantly, what I want. So I'm not interested in lecturing or more information and information and information. I'm really interested in how do we shine the light on that blind spot that could be the thing that's actually stopping you from what you want? And then let's see what happens when you take that on. And if I can share about our last masterclass, I was working with an extraordinary woman. So everyone else was for those listening, everyone else was participating in the conversation. Then I had a one-on-one so everyone could hear this conversation. And what we were looking at was really beginning to challenge what is some of the unrealistic or kind of the not so true beliefs that were stopping this person from being able to take an action? consistent with who she wants to be. And so in the masterclasses, I'm really interested in is, you tell me, Chulu, who do you want to be in the world? And then let's get on track with you being able to be a match for who you want to be in the world and what you want to fulfill on. That is what matters. And for me, an access to that is inside of who we be as a leader. Because whether we have the title of leadership or chief executive or manager or whatever, I mean, so many people lead in their families, they're leading their children, they lead their friends. So we are in these roles of leadership, even if they're not defined like that. So how do we remove what's in the way to have people feel confident and to take actions that have them get the results they really want? And full disclosure, it takes something and can be really uncomfortable. And I totally know that from firsthand, because every topic that we do in the leadership program, I am confronted and have to deal with whatever that topic is. So if we're talking about keeping our promises, I'm thinking about, oh boy, are there promises I've made that I haven't kept? How am I going to clean that up? What am I going to do about that? Before we did the negotiation session, literally the week before I was going to be delivering the session on negotiation, I had to do a negotiation with one of my clients. So I don't get to escape from continuing to grow and develop. And I like that too, because I don't want to be someone who talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. Like, for me, it really matters that everything I share is the stuff that I take on as well. Not, I don't have to worry about keeping my promises. You know, it's like, no way. If we're having a conversation about keeping promises, I need to be responsible for keeping my promises too. So I like that, but it means I'm constantly growing and expanding inside of the conversations and the inquiries that we have.
You're so right. Because I think in part, that's also why I started Africana Women, because I know there's a lot of, you know, a lot of times we're always like information hoarding, you know, people be like, I went for this course, I did this workshop, I read this book, I watched this YouTube video, da da da, and then 5 years later, like, still nothing has happened. You know, like, I have this idea. 5 years later, you're like, okay, where's the idea you were talking about? And no, I haven't yet started. And I think for me, it was very, I felt very led to be like, how do we get people from that idea, from, like you said, like the way you put it, like, who is that person that you want to be? How do you get them from the person that they are right now to the person they want to be? But what is actually stopping them? Because the information is there. They've got all the information, but they're not moving. And I also relate with what you said in terms of, you know, the things, practicing what you preach, essentially, right? And for me, I think especially like this year, because we talk a lot about health, well-being, you know, and all of that in Africana Women. So this year, I really felt convicted. I was like, no, Chulu, you need to step up your health game. So that's when I started now taking, exercising to that next level, because I don't just want to be that person who is telling people, hey, be healthy, you know, and then I myself am not practicing that as well. So I also feel like, okay, how am I showing up in the world about the things that I am speaking about or encouraging people to do and advocating for them to do? And I think, like you said, it stretches you and you confront yourself. Like, even in the masterclasses, I'm like a full participant in one of the masterclasses because I wasn't there to learn, you know? So yeah, it's quite interesting. What has been your experience, I guess? Well, have you seen any similarities in terms of blocks, especially like for women? What tends to come up for women in that stops them from getting or getting to where they want to be, pursuing what they want, and just moving forward?
Well, my view is for the most part, we're all dealing with the same stuff. So your block may, you may call it a different thing, or it may look a little bit different to mine, but fundamentally they're similar blocks. So some of the blocks for me is, I just don't have what it takes and I'm not good enough. You know, when I started Raise the Roof when I was 25, my business when I was 26, and it's like I'm too old. The really amazing entrepreneurs are 20 years old. So here I am at 25, and I'm like, maybe I'm too old. And then it's like, no, I'm too young. Maybe that's the problem. I'm too young. So it didn't really matter which space I was in. I just didn't think I had enough information. So 3 degrees, right? Give me as much information as you know, as you can. And so there was this thing called, I just don't know enough. Like, I'm not smart enough to run my own business, or I'm not experienced enough, or I'm not whatever it is enough. And so I've had to do lots of work and reflection around who is the person that I'm comparing, who is the yardstick, who's the measurement that's the comparison for whether I am enough or I'm not enough. And it's like, I mean, it's such a bizarre concept at times when you really unpack it, because I had it like someone else would say what I'm capable of and not capable of. And who says that? Like, who is this mystery person that's running around with a little wand saying, Chulu, you can be a successful businesswoman, but Danielle, bing, you just can't. Like, who is this mystical person? So I think we're so afraid of failure and what we think that will mean that we don't even give ourselves a chance to have a go and really give ourselves a chance to fail. Because in majority of the women I've worked with, spoken to, just as friends or whatever else, we don't usually fail. We may stop and give up. So it gets too hard and we may stop and give up. And I think that's one of the a block for us. It's too hard. I'm not good enough. I just quit. I'm out. I can't do this. I'm done. And sometimes we do need to do that for our own health and well-being. But there's something about what it takes to keep at it and keep looking at, are the actions I'm taking sufficient for where I'm going? So all those blocks, there are totally days where I'm like, I don't know how to get my business to a whole other level. Like, I don't know what that looks like. Can I do that? Am I meant to be? You know, it's like this, there's the magic person with the wand deciding who is entitled to have a business that really flourishes financially. So the blocks are usually things like confidence, not knowing where to start, feeling really on your own as a business, as a female business owner. It can feel very lonely, and for CEOs as well. CEO is such an interesting position in an organization, because sometimes you really are at the top of the organization on your own. So you have to be mindful, you know, what you share, and you play a role in being a leader inside of an organization. And so sometimes what we just need is someone who's really standing for us to be great and keeping us accountable and on track and reminding us that we can do it, because the world's not always shaped for that conversation. And some of us have got great parents that, you know, my parents were like, you can do and be whatever you want. But I was told that by my parents, but was like, oh, you don't really know, you don't know, Dad. You think I can, but I can't actually. Like, of course I can't. And society doesn't really call for us to all step into our own business and be entrepreneurs and break out of the 9 to 5 stability of a regular job. That was not what I saw growing up. And it's interesting, I was looking at some of the generational differences in the workplace. And when you look at the historical events that impacted the different generations in the workplace, of course, some of our parents were raised to be hardworking. The goal was stability and job security. So then we have my generation, and I'm like, woo, I want like freedom and flexibility. That's what I'm really committed to. And, the people that are like, what are you thinking about? Like, you should be focused on stability. So we're not in an environment necessarily that's calling for us to be extraordinary and great. And, people get jealous and knock you down, or they project their fears on you. So what I'm really interested in is how can I create environments like you're doing with Africana Woman, is create these environments where we can take things on, we can stuff it up, we can try again, we can celebrate our successes. But most importantly, we have like-minded women in these conversations that are beginning to just uncover all the blocks and stops that are in the way. So that's no longer what determines whether we be successful or not. And I tell you what, women are extraordinary leaders. My goodness, like put a bunch of women together when there's something to be done, and oh my gosh, are we a force to be reckoned with? And the women that I've seen go through my program are just extraordinary. I mean, the women come in extraordinary, but they really get for themselves how extraordinary they are. So I can know how extraordinary these people are, but that's great. But until they get who they are, that's where it's really like just such a blessing to be able to facilitate those conversations and have women get that for themselves, because then we become unstoppable. And it's almost like sometimes it just takes getting to that first success, like your first client. I remember just getting my first client seemed so hard, and filling my first program. My coach was like, no matter what, you start your program, even if you've got two people in it, just start. And thank goodness, because then it's like the next program and the next program and the next program, but it's done. So now I'm like, okay, well, if I could do that, how do I just do that a bit bigger? Or how do I take this to an organization? So then for me, it was like, ooh, first time I rolled out my leadership program to half of an organization, all genders. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, I don't know, like I don't know. And I just kept going, you've got this, you've got this, you can do this, you can do this. And I'm gonna learn and stuff things up and shift sessions and change sessions and go, oh, that doesn't work so well in an organizational, setting. Not a problem, I'll try something different next time. But giving ourselves that freedom to mess up and need to evolve and adapt and change inside of, our growth and development. I think one last thing to add is, I know for myself, and I suspect for other people, but I do want to not really talk for other people because I can only speak for my own experience. But this view that I have to be a master at the thing before I start. So it's like, oh, I'd love to start learning the piano, but my expectation is that the minute I sit at the piano, I should be able to, be at level 6 or 7 at the piano. So really giving grace for learning and letting myself not be a master at delivering workshops until I've delivered enough of them, or having calls with people that are interested in doing my program, or negotiating all of organization programs. Like, the only way I can learn how to do that is to just get out there on the court and play. But there's so much, if, like for me, I had to really deal with wanting to be a perfectionist. I'm quite frankly, I'm like, no, I'm not interested in the learning part. I just want to go from here to mastery, boom, in like 5 seconds. So I've had to really give grace to myself to learn. Like I'm discovering things all the time, situations in my life that I've never faced before. So of course I don't know how to deal with them. I've never done it before. But it's okay, what's the next step? Or for me, like who do I want to be? Or what's my big commitment? Or what's the future I'm living into? And then what actions do I need to take that would have me inch closer and closer and closer to that? Because the other extraordinary thing about being in business, I know I suspect surely you'll get this because I'm sure we may have spoken about this before, but is the freedom and flexibility we get when we run our own business. We get to choose who to work with, get to choose my tribe, I get to choose my clients, I get to choose the amazing women that I get to catch up with every week who share their, what they're breaking through and their successes. Like, whoa, how extraordinary that that's my life. And I just want that for others. I just want that for other women.
I love that. I love everything you said. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the charity you co-founded and what are the goals, who you're supporting, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Thanks so much, truly, for giving me the opportunity to share about this. And to be totally frank, I mean, one of the things I think is a superpower for women is when we're authentic and we cough up whatever needs to be coughed up. So we started Raise the Roof 15 years ago, and we had a commitment to make a difference to orphan children. The way that we wanted to do that was from building a house. Now, that house project took years. It took us 4 years to actually get the land. So we built a house where I live in Australia. It took us probably 2, 3, 4 years to do the plans. We had all volunteers, essentially, people donating their time and to build the house. It didn't sell on the auction day when we wanted to sell it. It sold after the auction day. It's been a process for how we can have funds move from Australia into Botswana. It's not a simple process. You can't just direct transfer that. Transfer, there's a whole process. So it's now 15 years later, and we're actually able to fully do. So we built the house and sold the house and got the money in the bank. But talk about like resilience and not quitting and not giving up and doing what it takes to really fulfill on your word. And my commitment was to make a profound difference to children in Botswana. And so amazingly, the last couple of years, I was really clear that, and so were our board and my brother, who's the co-founder, we were really clear. We didn't want to just hand funds over that would just get used and absorbed, and then that's that. Because to build that house, and I think we had 450 different organizations and people contribute to that project in our community. So for me to just see that money sort of just utilized quickly with no long-term something just wasn't okay for us. It wasn't aligned with the vision and, what we're given our word to. And so we're partnering with SOS Children's Villages in Botswana. And a couple of years ago, they came to us because my view was I wanted to contribute to something that would enable the sustainability of the organization for many, 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 many years. That really mattered to me. That was number one. Number two was it would provide something for the children that would be graduating. So once they get to age 18, it's time for them to move on from the orphanage. I wanted to make sure we had something in place for those kids so they could learn and have skills that would break the cycle of poverty. So then SOS came to us. We were sort of like, have you got any ideas? What are you thinking? And they were like, yes, we want to develop a farm. So they're doing a farm project in a place in Botswana called Serowe, where they will have a piggery, poultry, and fruit and vegetables that they'll grow. But a portion of that will feed, there's 500 plus orphans in these children's villages in Botswana. So it will feed them, which will reduce their cost for food and the reliance on organizations and shops for food, but also means any excess produce can be shared as an income stream for the organization in the future. And the other part that's associated with the project is that through that farm project, they will train and have a like a startup incubator where they are teaching young people how to run businesses. So how to run a farm, how to run businesses, whether they choose poultry or pigs or the farming. And so that's the project that we're up to. So we'll be partnering with SOS on that project. It was so wonderful after 15 years to say, we are really ready, we can do this. And so that's the project that we'll be working on, and that will be the legacy that everyone who contributed to our Raise the Roof project here in Australia, that's the difference that we'll make for those orphan children. So hopefully that involves a trip to Botswana next year. I can't wait. I haven't been there for probably 4 or 5 years now, and we can fulfill on that vision.
That's amazing. That's amazing. 15 years, the resilience, and 450 people, organizations that works on that. That is, I love that. Like when the community can come together for this, you know, great cause and just do something. Because I think a lot of times we kind of get stuck in, there's so many things wrong with the world, but I don't know what I can do. And it doesn't even have to be like a big thing. It's your time, you know, spending a few hours painting, hammering some nails or whatever, you know, and that makes all of the difference. So I think that's amazing. And I'm excited because when you come to Botswana, then I'm going to make sure that we meet. So that's
absolutely. And I'll probably go to Zambia as well if I'm going to go to Botswana. So yeah, I'm really excited to get over there. And you're right, Chulu, like one of the reasons we chose to build a house, because there are other ways that we could have fundraised the money that we did, but I come from a family of builders. My brother was really, really wanted to build a house. And it was a way for people to contribute that wouldn't otherwise be able to contribute. So whether that was on our gala balls, like fundraising committee or donating prizes or donating some of their time on the weekend, helping with whatever stage we were up to with the house. And so the place I live is Canberra, and it really became the charity house that Canberra built. And there had been other charity houses before where someone just pays a builder a heap of money and they build the house, but at cost price. But our model was a bit different because we had people just volunteering across all the different trades. So everyone got to own a piece of that house. So the project was, I mean, handed over outside of my brother and I so quickly because, I mean, there's no way we could have done anything. I mean, it's just not possible to do a project like that with just two people. So it was really extraordinary that people got to contribute in a way, like we got to create an opportunity for people to contribute in a way that they wouldn't have been able to, because you're right, some people can't give $1,000 or $20,000 or whatever it is. But sometimes I think, like, if we all just contributed to the thing that really sets our heart on fire, you know, there are some spaces. My sister has an amazing capacity for being with old people. It is way too sad for me. I find it way too challenging. I get so emotional. I just want to cry when I'm seeing old people in people's homes. Like, that's not the right space for me. But I love kids. I love hanging out with kids. I can totally deal with the awful stories. Like, this, that is sort of my passion, or that's what really calls to me. And so I just think, wow, if we all just did the thing that resonates with us, imagine what the world would look like.
Yep, that's a lovely place for us to wind up. Imagine what the world would look like, guys. So in the Africana women community, we have a saying, which is know your roots, grow your purpose. I have four questions for you. Just let me know whatever comes to mind. Okay. All right. So the first question is, what are you rooted in?
Is there another way you could ask that question, Chulu?
What is the thing that grounds you, that that you always come back to, like when things are hard, or even that when, you know, when you're enjoying yourself around something, but what is the thing that you always come back to?
Who do I want to be in the world? That like, I talk about the mean girl who says all sorts of really interesting things. And for me, coming back to my roots is, well, who do I say I want to be? And then what would it look like if I was being that? So who really am I? Yep.
Okay. And then what is your, what are your favorite ways to nourish your mind, your body, and your soul?
Oh, well, I love how you spoke about self-care and really taking care of ourselves. I'm big on that. So I love walking. I go for a walk every day. I like to nurture my brain. I'm always reading a leadership book or a book on something about something that's, you know, feeding my brain. And I have extraordinary friends and family. So I love really nourishing, authentic, connected, meaningful conversations. So I make sure I always have time for those real heartening conversations that really nurtures who I am.
Do you have a weakness that has now become a superpower?
I am sure I have many weaknesses. So just sort of flicks through what doesn't work so well. One of the things that can be a real limitation for me is I'll show you. So if someone tells me I can't do something, then I can be pretty reactive and like, oh, I will show you. I'll show you I can do that. And I totally have to rein, like I now have to know when to use that as a superpower or not. So when lots of people were asking about, what are you going to do? You're leaving your job. Like, well, what are you going to do with your superannuation? It was like, I'm going to be fine. And sometimes I will step into that. It probably is totally, I'll show you. And there's a part of, I choose something else and I want to be the example that that's possible. It was the same thing with Raise the Roof. Along the whole 15 years, pages of why we should have quit and it was too hard and hiccups and barriers. And for me, it was just like, no, by hook or by crook, that's the saying we have in Australia, like no matter what happens, we are going to finish this project. So it can still be a weakness if I dig my heels in too much, but it can also be a superpower because when I give my word to something, I am pretty committed to doing what I say I'm going to do. Yeah.
Gosh, I have that as well, because just this weekend, I had a conversation with somebody who was just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, they just had so much doubt. And in my mind, immediately, it was like, I will show you. I was like, oh gosh. Anyway, and the last question is, what do you know as a certainty?
Not much. But that life is uncertain and this too shall pass. So yeah, nothing. I delude myself thinking that everything's stable and I have certainty, and there really just isn't. In a moment, anything can hit in life and totally just flip everything upside down or change the trajectory of your life in a really beautiful and profound way, or not for a while until you get back to the beautiful and profound way. So yeah, my certainty would be that there's really no such thing as certainty, and there is no such thing as truth, one universal truth.
Danielle, this has been such a great conversation. Please let the audience know, how can they contact you? How do they support you? And, you know, just follow what you're doing.
That's awesome. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for the incredible conversation. Gosh, how wonderful. Like, what a beautiful, these are the kinds of conversations that really nourish my heart. So I am, because of the different projects, I have different handles. So at KO Consulting, KAYO Consulting. You can grab me there on Instagram. Raise the Roof is the charity that Chulu and I were chatting about, which is at RAIZE_THE_roof. The other one is at Free the V. So at free.thev. And just message me. And what would just make a huge contribution is, I guess, having a look, just having a look and being curious about the conversation. And if you're on Instagram, following, but also, oh my gosh, just reach out if there's something you're interested in, or you want to talk more, or you're interested in learning more, then please just reach out. I just love people and I love conversation. So I'm very accessible and open to being in conversation with people.
Fantastic. Danielle, this has been awesome. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're obviously going to let you go because we don't want to take up your whole evening, but thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Trillium. And thank you for the contribution and difference you're making to women in business as well. You're really a partner for me in all of this, and I really appreciate and acknowledge you for that.
Be honest. Have you found yourself wanting to immediately be a master at what you have been called to do? Like, have you started a business and then you're frustrated because you're not getting the traction you want immediately? Or you're not starting the business idea because you do not have the funds to see the dream? Like, you've already seen, you know, you've seen, you know that, okay, I'm going to have the shop, but you've already seen it in the mall and you've seen the bright lights, the shelves, the what, but then your accounts are telling you, no, you need to start in the marketplace. Like, you know what I mean? Do you want perfection from the beginning and would rather skip over the learning? Just be honest, boo. When we say start from where you are, you have exactly what you need in the season to get started. Are you rolling your eyes? Okay, I have to say this because I love you. The learning is important. Give yourself grace to learn, because when you are learning, you are in a season where you will master your craft. You will build your network. You will discover innovations that make you unique. You will learn consistency and resilience. It is in this time that you will learn what it means to fail and to win. And you will learn what you make either one mean. It is in the learning that we actually live. If everything was always perfect from get-go, how boring life would be. You know what time it is. Give Danielle her roses. Find her on LinkedIn at Danielle Dalcotivo. Tell her you heard her on the Africana Woman podcast. Say thank you and let her know what you learned. What were your main takeaways? Check out Free the V and KO Consulting to support the amazing work that she is doing. And for all those who will be at the Africana Women Festival, Danielle is coming to Zambia. Listen, she is going to lead a Write a Letter to Your Vagina. You heard me right. Write a Letter to Your Vagina workshop and something else, which will be announced very soon. Ah, so excited. And you get to meet her in person. Are you getting why I am saying that the Africana Women Festival is an international thing? Like, our sister is coming all the way from Australia and you're hesitating about coming from Zimbabwe to Zambia. How? Anyway, planning, babes. It's all in the planning. So the best way to support the Africana Women podcast is to share it. Take screenshots. Send the links to your girlfriends. Help us spread the word and thank you in advance. The Africana Woman podcast is part of the Africana Woman Network. My name is Chulu, your host. Until next time.